The story that we read today is probably familiar to many of us. We've heard it many times. We're pretty sure that we know how it goes. And yet, so much of it is very strange. The setting and the way it goes is really outside of our experience. So I like to think about this story. All through this week, I was thinking about this as a movie scene and what it would look like as Jesus and his disciples cross the Sea of Galilee and approach the shore. And they're coming into the area of the Decapolis, the Gentile, the Greek area. And they step out of the boat. And it is not a bright daylight scene. It's a gray sky, maybe stormy or evening time. There's that warning music in the background that tells you something creepy is going to happen, right? And this man runs up and throws himself before Jesus, and he's, you know, uncapped. He probably had like wounds on his hands and ankles. His hair's all crazy, and he's not clothed. We are told that the man is possessed by demons. And that's an idea that's foreign to many of us. There are some who believe literally in demons and in possession, and others who think that these stories are more about mental illness or other mental and emotional maladies we face. However we understand it, Jesus casts the demons out and puts them into this herd of swine. Now, the swine in the Jewish culture, if you remember, are forbidden. They're unclean, and the tombs are unclean. And so you have this real, you start out in this kind of unclean setting. And then Jesus brings this complete transformation. Jesus heals the man. And when the people come from around the countryside to see what's happened, there he is, clothed and in his right mind, probably hardly recognizable. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus, which is the place in Luke's gospel of a disciple. So it just in this transformation, in this being freed, he's become a follower, learner from Jesus. And he wants to go with Jesus, but Jesus tells him to stay. And so he becomes a witness to what God has done for him. In the coming stories, in a few weeks, we'll read how Jesus sends out first the 12 disciples and then 72 disciples. But here in this story, he's sending out this man who experienced this dramatic healing and transformation at Jesus' hands. This is a dramatic story, and I always love these very, very dramatic stories in the Bible. It shows the power of Jesus to cast out demons and transform lives. And it leaves me wondering about so many things. I wonder, as we listen to the story, what a difference it makes where we see ourselves in this story. Do we identify with the man possessed by demons, whose life is transformed by his encounter with Jesus? Or do perhaps we identify with the swineherds, just existing at the margins of the story, pushed out of the story when their livelihoods leap from a cliff? Or do we identify with the townsfolk who feel threatened by the presence and power of Jesus in their midst? Let's look a little more closely at each of these perspectives. And first, I think probably most clearly we are meant to identify with the man who is healed. And I'm sure that many of us can identify with the feeling of being controlled, even possessed by powers outside of us, by addiction or mental illness, by poverty or violence, by the false narratives that tell us we are not worthy, by anxiety, insecurity, or fear. All of these things can bind us and keep us from experiencing the fullness of life that Jesus has for us. And Jesus would free us from those things. At its core, this is a story about the power of Jesus to free us from the demons, whether literal or figurative, that bind our lives. But there's more to it as well. Some of us may identify more with the swineherds. They barely get a mention in the story. They're off at the side of all the pictures of this story. In a sense, they're just collateral damage. Their voices, their lives, and the loss of their livelihood are not even recognized in the story. For some, this is their experience of Christian community, or of their family, or their social location, or their school, or the broader community. Their sexual orientation and gender identity, their disability or cognitive differences leave them feeling left out, even cast out of the community, invisible at the margins. On this day when we celebrate as a nation Juneteenth, the day when the word of the freedom, the end of slavery, finally came to Galveston, Texas, to the last enslaved people in our country. And so it is recognized as, you know, the end of slavery, if you want to put a day on it. And that is the celebration of Juneteenth. And it is a reminder to us that, and particularly in the Lutheran Church, which is the whitest denomination in a country, racial and ethnic identity is one of those places where we marginalize people in our church, in our wider culture. We know that in the broader story of Jesus, all these marginalized people are seen and welcomed into the community. But in this story, they are left unseen. And part of the work of following Jesus is to practice seeing who is unseen, and to practice noticing whose voices are not heard. And once we've noticed, to practice inviting and listening to them. And that brings us to the third group of people in the story, which is the good townsfolk of Gerasene and the Decapolis. When they see the man who has been possessed, clothed and in his right mind, and sitting at the feet of Jesus, it's a happy ending, right? And they are afraid. They ask Jesus to leave them alone. And I wonder just what's going on there. Why are they afraid? Why do they want Jesus to leave so quickly? Jesus has disrupted their system for controlling the man possessed by demons, which made them feel safe and secure. Perhaps they're afraid because they don't really trust what will happen once Jesus leaves. Will this guy really stay? You know, looking so great, behaving correctly? But I think there's more than that. I wonder if they are mostly afraid that Jesus will turn his gaze to them next. It may not be difficult for many of us to identify the things that bind us, the things that interrupt fullness of life for us. But it is often just as difficult to decide to really let go of those things, to really welcome the transformation of life that would take us out of a comfort zone into the fullness of life that God offers for us. In my experience, both in my own lived experience in struggling with depression for most of my adult life, in my own journey of anti-racism in so many ways, but also in what I've seen among most people that I do ministry with, this transformation is not a momentary event, as in our story, but is a process. It is a journey of years, or perhaps a lifetime, a life of choosing again and again, day after day, to look at Christ rather than the patterns of death that would bind us. And sometimes we just aren't ready to do that work, even when Jesus is calling us into new life. Sometimes we aren't really ready to let go of our comfort and security of the status quo. Sometimes we don't even see, and we just prefer not to see the places where we are bound. Jesus, you just walk on by. I'm good here. And again, I think of our Juneteenth holiday, of our nation deciding to recognize this holiday, and of how easy it is for us as white people to just turn away. That's our privilege as white people, right? We don't have to engage racism. We don't have to engage the system in our culture that puts one group of people above another and discriminates against people of color in so many ways. It is so easy to participate in whiteness. And sometimes we really don't want Jesus to open our eyes, because then there's a lot of hard work for us to do. But still, Jesus comes to us every day, every week in this meal at the table, every time we open ourselves to prayer. Jesus comes to us offering freedom, offering hope. Jesus offers us new life and new identity as his beloved disciples. And in that identity, we can find courage to face the places where we are bound, whether they be addiction or mental illness or our own participation in the systems that are so dangerous and violent in our culture. Jesus walks with us as we return day after day to the work of getting free from all of these things. Jesus has the power to free us and save us. That is the gift of grace that we receive in our relationship with Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.